Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates on this channel each week. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays, our messages premiere at 11 a.m. Now, the title of my message today is number 369. It's Jesus and the Coming Kingdom, and we're going to be looking at what is commonly known as the Transfiguration, and that's in Matthew chapter 17, the first nine verses. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread, and you'll see that today. We love answering questions, particularly related to prophecy. If you have a question or would like to suggest a topic for one of our upcoming messages, just email us at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Again, my title of my message today is Jesus and the Coming Kingdom, and I took that title actually from the last verse of Matthew chapter 16 that we read last week. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, which says this: "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here that shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, when the scriptures were originally written, New Testament was written in Greek on parchment. Now, the oldest copies in both the Greek New Testament as well as the Hebrew Old Testament are written without any punctuation. That wasn't invented until hundreds of years later. However, aren't you glad that we have a system now, punctuation and chapters and verses, that allows us to find quickly our favorite verses? Now, you may be thinking there must be a reason that Pastor Ken is telling all of this. Why am I giving you this information on Greek manuscripts? Well, there's a reason, and that would be a good question. The verse I just read, verse 28 in the 16th chapter, is often included in the topical headings in your Bibles that includes chapter 17. So, for example, in my Bible, verse 28, it begins a new topic, and it says, Jesus transfigured on the mount. And the reason for this is simple. Jesus told His disciples something amazing. There were some of them would not die until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And remember, for the Jewish people, they were waiting for the Messiah, and they wanted the Messiah to come in glory. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this account is in the ninth chapter, and there is no chapter break between that verse and then the Transfiguration. Jesus promised that some of them would not die until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. That immediately precedes the account of these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, a few days later with Jesus on the mount, where He was transfigured before them. The Transfiguration is in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in all of these Gospels, it's the next event immediately after Jesus gives this promise that some would not die until they see the Son of Man coming. So rather than trying to interpret Jesus' promise as referring to the establishment of the church, for example, as many do, we will just continue reading, because that's what you want to do. If you have a question in the Bible and you're reading something, just keep reading, because the Bible interprets the Bible. So let's go ahead. We'll read the account from the Gospel of Matthew, and then we'll unpack it to get the best understanding. So I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, while He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." You know, this is amazing. Think about it. These three men, these three followers of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, had the privilege of seeing Jesus actually as he really was in his glory. The Apostle John would later write, "We beheld his glory." The Apostle Peter wrote, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So let's take a little closer of what actually transpired, and we'll see if we can try to tackle the question, why? Why did Jesus display his glory? Why Moses and Elijah? Why on this mountain? And why just these three men? So looking at verse 2, it says, "He was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." Remember that Jesus is providing a glimpse of his coming in glory, the coming of the kingdom. Now, when we look to prophecy, two of the books we typically look to are the book of Revelation and the Old Testament prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, we read about the Ancient of Days, a name for the mighty God in human form, also known as Jesus Christ. And this is what it says in verse 9. It says, "As I looked, thrones were set up in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. His hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were ablaze." You know, there's a similar scene in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. John writes, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire." So this is exactly why it's called the Transfiguration. Jesus is the eternal Word. The Apostle John in his gospel writes, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and nothing was made that without him, nothing was made that was made." Jesus is not only the Son of God, he is the Word incarnate. He is the visible form of the Godhead, Jesus in the flesh. That's exactly who God is. That's who Jesus is, and that's why Jesus was transfigured, to give these apostles, these three, a view of who he truly was. You know, Jesus was actually cloaked in humanity. He was born as a babe, the son of a carpenter, but really that was just a mask. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Peter, James, and John, these three are there, and they have the opportunity to see Jesus. And why those three? Well, some people say it's because they were the inner circle. They were trusted with not telling others about this until after Jesus had risen from the dead. So let's see what happens in verse 3, because it's important. It says, "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them." You know, Moses had died 1,400 years earlier, and Elijah was over 900 years dead. But notice, they are not dead, but alive. They're talking with Jesus. This continues to be a mystery, but it's also very symbolic for us. You know, Moses represented the law and the people of Israel, and Elijah represents the prophets and the promises. And Elijah also represents those who are going to be caught up to heaven, as pictured in the rapture, when the saints are caught up, as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, Matthew records, likely from Peter's recollection, that the discussion they had, this is Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, was about his death and what was going to happen in Jerusalem in just a few days. Jesus was not martyred for his faith. Jesus was a sacrifice for sin. So let's continue. You know, Peter, being an impulsive, I relate to Peter, maybe you do as well. He was so impulsive. He would just start talking before his mind was engaged. He begins to speak. And he suggests that they set up tents or booths for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And then look what happens. Verse 5 says, "And while he," that's Peter, "was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid." You know, the bright cloud and the voice coming out of the cloud, in fact, even Jesus' face shining as the sun, are all reminiscent, aren't they, of what we read about Moses on Mount Sinai. However, this is not Mount Sinai. This is Mount Hermon, called the Rock. It's a Gentile mountain. It's north of Israel. To the Jews, Jesus came as the Messiah. To the Gentiles, Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world, the Savior. It was the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son," that caused the disciples to fall on their face. It wasn't the transfiguration. They were watching that. It wasn't Elijah and Moses, long dead, coming, you know, appearing before them. That didn't cause them to fall down. It was the voice of God. You know, all of those that shake their fist at God, and there's many of them, ultimately will fall on their face. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, God has a plan, and he was revealing it to these three. He's revealing it to Peter, James, and John. And just as Peter, James, and John had the chance to see Jesus in the coming kingdom, every believer in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, will see Jesus coming in his kingdom. This is a mystery, but it's been revealed to us. The Apostle Paul told us very clearly. He said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You know, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. It's our promise. Paul calls it the blessed hope. You know, my friends, Jesus, the coming kingdom, is a soon coming event. It may look, if you look around at the world today, it may look like things are falling apart, but it's actually, everything is coming together. Just as Jesus said there would be some that would not die before they see the coming kingdom, the Apostle Paul tells us that there will be a generation, a whole generation that does not die, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Maranatha, Maranatha, my friends, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. So, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share Jesus in the coming kingdom. We give you the praise.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Baer's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Baer. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Baer. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.